On a cold, snowy night in January of 2011, I found myself strapped to a gurney in the back of an ambulance. What had started as a simple stomach ache earlier that day had quickly regressed to a full-body paralysis. I was unable to move my arms or my legs. My face muscles wouldn't function, so I could not speak. And out of fear, Amy called for the ambulance. And when I got to the hospital, I could hear everything that was happening around me, but I could not communicate. And an ER doc and several medical personnel surrounded me. They cut in two my favorite sweater. They began to strap all these devices to me. And all I could hear were the words of one of the staff, I don't know who said to me, "Sir, we don't know what's wrong with you, but we'll be right back." And they left. And for a moment, I don't know, maybe it was a minute, it felt like an eternity, I lay there by myself, unable to move, but fully conscious. And that was a moment when all of a sudden I began to have those doubts that crept into my mind. Where is God in a moment like this? God, I gave my life to you. I spent a bunch of years and a bunch of money in seminary studying to be part of the ministry. And 6 months into this thing, this is how it's going to end for me? What will happen to Amy and Isaac? How will they live and support themselves? Is this really how this is supposed to end, oh God? God, where are you? What I experienced that night is something that many have experienced in times of health crisis and trouble. It's that when the day of affliction comes, for some reason in those moments, it feels like God is distant. It feels like God is not there. Psalm 22 gives expression to that moment. Our psalmist is experiencing a moment of deep affliction. He says that he is surrounded by a company of evildoers. He speaks of the bulls of Bashan and the dogs. And in the ancient Near Eastern world, bulls and dogs were symbolic animals, symbols of evil. And so he feels surrounded by evildoers, and his body is in great pain and suffering. He says, "My bones are out of joint, and I am laid down in the dust of death." And it's in the midst of his affliction that the psalmist begins to cry out to God in prayer, and he prays some of the most haunting words in the Bible. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from hearing my groaning? I have cried out to you by day, but you do not answer me. By night, but I find no rest." Here the psalmist gives expression to the cries of our hearts. Those moments when we feel that God has abandoned us. Those moments when we wonder if God is distant. You're familiar with those moments. Where was God on September 11th, 2001, when those planes flew into the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon and a field in Somerset County? Where was God on that day in Sandy Hook Elementary School, when a very sick person with a mental illness walked in and opened fire? Where was God when my mother, when I sat at her bedside and listened to her weep over her illness? Where was God in my affliction? Psalm 22 gives expression to this, and the psalmist indicates that he knows the Lord. That he's been in a close relationship with God. As a matter of fact, he says, "God, I read your Bible. I read how you delivered your people from Egypt. I read how you delivered them when they cried out to you. And so, God, I know that you listen to your people when they pray. And so where are you when I need you, God? Where are you when I need you? Psalm 22 is a dark psalm, but it invites us to give prayerful expression to those moments in our lives when it feels like God is distant. There is a moment of conversion in this psalm, however, isn't there? For the second half of the psalm is not like the first. In verse 21, the psalmist begins to break out in a chorus of praise. He says, God, I will praise you. I will stand as a witness to your goodness in the midst of the congregation. So even as the psalmist gives expression to his grief that God is distant, the psalmist begins to offer God praise. And I wonder what happened. Did God come down and rescue the psalmist from his affliction? Did God free him from the suffering he was undergoing? No. But what God did was, in the moment of affliction, the psalmist becomes aware that in fact God has not forsaken him. Verse 24. The psalmist says, O Lord, you have not despised the afflictions of the afflicted. You have not hid your face from me in the midst of the time of trial. You see, the psalmist begins the prayer with this feeling that God is distant, but what he discovers in the midst of his affliction is that God is there. We serve a God who does not despise our sufferings, but who shares them with us. We do not serve a God who stands at a distance and watches us as we are surrounded by trials and suffering, but a God who comes alongside us. We serve a God who gets deep down in the pit with us. This is the cry of the heart that's expressed in Psalm 22. God, where are you when I need you? You are right here, right with me. Jesus grew up in the synagogue, learning to pray the Psalms. And I imagine that Jesus memorized Psalm 22. And in that moment on the cross, when Jesus was in the fullness of his suffering, when darkness had come over the land and Jesus was in his greatest pain, he turned to the words of Psalm 22. And he cried out to God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? But in that moment, Jesus not only prays the first verse of Psalm 22, but he has on his lips and his heart the entire psalm. And so from the cross, Jesus says, my God, it feels like you are distant. It feels like you are far from me, but I know that you do not despise the afflictions of the afflicted. I know that you do not hide your face from me. So in that moment on the cross, Jesus affirms that even in the fullness of his suffering, God is there. It's why we United Methodists get it right when we always have a flame with our cross. The flame is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the very presence and power of God. And there is no cross where God is not there. That there is no crucifixion in which God turns away. God is there in the midst of the suffering. And so where is God when we need Him most? Where was God when I lay in the back of that ambulance? Where is God on a day like September 11th? Where is God when suffering and tragedy strikes? Where is God when my life is filled with pain? God is the same place where God was on Good Friday. On the cross. In the midst of our suffering. Some of us are prone to believe that God's presence is made known to us through blessing. That God's presence is only made known to us when good things come our way. And so it can cause us to believe that when bad things come our way, that somehow God is not there. And yet Psalm 22, the entire gospel, says to us, Emmanuel, God is with us, even on the darkest day, even on the longest night, God is there. And God's presence is God's salvation. For God is life. In that moment on the cross, as death crept in, life encroached upon death. The presence of God is the presence of life, pushing away the darkness, pushing away the death. Part of what our role is as the Church of Jesus Christ is to be present with the afflicted, to remind those in times of pain and trial and suffering that there is a flame with every cross, that Christ is present in every trial. That's why if you go to the hospital, it won't be long before Pastor Ben or I will show up. We've not come because we have any words of wisdom to offer. We've come because we want you to know that you're not alone, that Christ is with you in your affliction. It's why as a church, when people go through times of trial, when they have surgeries, when they have times of grief and despair, we come together. We send food. We send cards. We convey to each other the presence of God in the midst of our affliction. And in this way, we enter into a ministry of compassion. Compassion, the ability to feel what others feel, the ability to sit where others sit. This is what Christ shows us. On the cross, Jesus confirms to us that there is no affliction we can endure that He Himself has not endured. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 that in Christ we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our trials. For Christ has endured even the worst that can be imagined. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God has not forsaken us. He has heard the cries of our hearts. So let us be for one another bearers of the presence and power of God to bring life from the ashes. Amen.